God bless you and good morning. And what a joy it is to be on the set today. The Gospel for the Glory of Jesus on KRAJ 100.9 FM right here in the Antelope Valley. And I'm glad to be a part. We're going to ask the Lord to help us with this. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to be able to even speak, to get up and walk, to just move and be able to think and reason. You didn't have to do that, but you did it, and I thank you for it. Give us wisdom on how to share this message. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, listen, where we're going with this is I'd like to take you through about five steps here. Now, number one, I told you that I will not be able to speak with you again until after Easter. Those of you who are listening in with us today, and thank you so much for this. And what I want to do is to kind of just walk through what got us in trouble and how we got out of trouble. First of all, the Lord did his creation, and through all of the creation, he created the garden, all the different animals, everything. And then when he got to man, he made that the crown of his creation. And there in the garden, in Genesis chapter 1 and also in chapter 2, he gives a command to his man that he had put in the garden, gave him a beautiful lady to be with him and to be his company keeper. And all he wanted from Adam was his company with him. So at this point, he gave him a command. He says, now everything that's out here that I've made, everything is yours. It's under your command. And I want you to know that you are after my own image. You are after the image of me, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You are after our image and after our likeness. And everything in the garden is yours. You can eat in any one of those trees except the tree in the midst of the garden. And he says, when you do that, that tells me you no longer love me. And because you're not willing to keep my commandment, and at that point will be the end, because it'll cost you your life. And Adam, I assume, and the Bible doesn't say it in this way, but I'm assuming that Adam clearly understood that, and I don't know how he must have felt at that point. But anyway, he felt some kind of way. And wasn't too long before here comes his wife with, the Bible doesn't talk about an apple, it talks about fruit. So Satan, she met up with Satan at a particular point where she was not with her husband. And at that point, Satan convinced her that God knew that the very moment that she'd take a bite of the fruit, that she would become as wise as God. So she went running. The Bible doesn't say she ran, but she went running to her husband and said, hey, I got a hold of something mighty good over on the other side of town. And what that is, I have a friend, and he told me that God didn't want us to have the fruit because we would become as he is. And I want you to have a bite. Long story made short, he took it. He took the bait, broke the commandment, and now we're in debt for life. But God loved us so much that even when we disobeyed him, he had a plan. Now, somebody, I don't know where I heard this from, but one preacher said that God had a plan B. But somehow I don't see it as a plan B, because God already knew how we were going to act through Adam in the first place. So I said it's not a plan B, but it's just a part of his plan to make sure he kept man with him. So he sent Jesus to fulfill the debt that Adam created. What do you mean, preacher? Well, what Adam created was a condition that cost us our life, our physical life, and our separation from God. So God says, I love you still. Don't like it. He went out in the garden looking for Adam. He was calling for Adam. Adam, where are you? And finally Adam said, I'm here, sir. And he came walking out with a patch of leaves on himself. And Jesus said, God said, why is that? He said, well, we were naked and we were trying to close up and look pretty good to you. When I got with you, I just wanted to look better. And he said, who told you you were naked? Well, you know the story. And I won't take that any further, because where I want to walk you to today is up to the Resurrection Sunday, which will be the second Sunday in April coming up. Well, anyway, Adam had broken the law. Jesus came on his behalf. And in fact, one passage of scripture calls Adam the first Adam and calls Jesus the second Adam. First Adam broke it. Second Adam fixed it. So Jesus came on behalf of mankind. And when he came on behalf of mankind, he made this statement. And let me take you now to one passage of scripture. And we'll probably read a couple, two or three passages of scripture. One of those is John 3:16. And I don't have to necessarily go in pulling it out or reading it, but I think all of you know that. And here's what Jesus said. God so loved the world. Who's the world? That's all of us. All that was there, all that has been, and all that will ever be in the human race makes up the world. And so he said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that if any one of you, any one of you listening to me, including Brother Henry, and I listened a long time ago, and I even made up some lies a whole bunch of times and said, Lord, I won't ever do that again if you forgive me, and go back and do something crazy anyhow. And I'm sure that you guys who are listening on with us today, you probably didn't do that like I did it. But God loved me so much, he forgave me. He made 1 John 1:9 available to me. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now let me go back to John 3:16 again. And Jesus made it clear to us. He said, and if anyone would accept Christ, which is me, Jesus speaking, even though the law was broken, even though the statement was made by God in his commandment that we would die, he won't never die if we trust God. I got something I need to tell you right now. I don't know how long I'm going to be telling this, but probably a long time. My baby son passed away on the 10th of 10th of January, 7 p.m., in my house right here in Lancaster. And over the years, he was 58 years old, over the years, he had questioned me about my relationship with God. Daddy, how can you believe this non-existing? And he would go on and on, and then he'd go away for a month or so, and he'd come back, he'd hop me again. And then he did that pretty much most of his life. But then in October this past year, let me make this short before I run out of time here. October of last year, 2019, the doctor discovered that he had cancer, colon cancer, which metastasized, took out his kidneys and his lungs. not his lung, kidneys and his liver. And so he, his sister, his twin sister was there at the hospital when it was announced. I wasn't there. And she went all to pieces. And guess what my son said to her? The same son that over the years had been asking me about my relationship with God, said to her, "Don't make it bad," he said, right there in the hospital bed. "Don't make it bad. This flesh was not designed to live forever. I got a new body coming." Can you believe this? My son, the one that had been questioning me all of this time, made the statement, "I got a new body coming, and it ain't going to go away. It's going to live forever, and I'm going to be able to be God's best friend." And I've been so excited ever since I heard that, and I'll probably be telling that the rest of my life. But the thing is, I wanted to make, the reason why I brought that up is because he grabbed a hold of that thing, and when he left here in the arms of God. Ain't no doubt in my mind. So God took his own son, sent him in the likeness of sinful flesh, and he took on our broken situation and fulfilled all that was required. Now, the law required that we had to die. Watch this. So what Jesus did is fulfill the law on our behalf. Did you get that? I know you got it. He fulfilled the law on our behalf. So when he fulfilled the law on our behalf, it don't make no difference what Satan tried to do, because we have the victory, because Jesus bought the victory and gave it to us and said all we have to do is believe in his finished work on Calvary and trust him and ask for forgiveness. And ladies and gentlemen, we are standing back in again. Now, the bottom line is this. Let me lead you as we move on. He fulfilled it. And then he stayed here at the time he fulfilled this on Calvary. Some 33 years. 33 years. He went through all of the stuff that any normal guy would have to go through in the process of developing himself into a real man and to develop himself into some other kind of man, too, if you wanted to. But he stayed with us for 33 years. And then, on a Friday, leading up to Easter, that little Jewish brother fulfilled the bill, took care of all of the situation, allowed him to do it, and they put thorns on his head. He said he was thirsty and he needed water. Them guys took some gall, put it on a sponge, vinegar, and put it to his mouth, and he did not take it. But thanks be to God, that same little Jewish brother. And then they hung two thieves, one on either side of him, to demigrate him. You know, God is just bad anyway. And so is his son Jesus. And so what happened was this. One of the guys said, "This crucifixion hurts. So if you're God, why don't you get on from off of this cross and then take us down too?" But the one on the right side looked over at him and said, "You're crazy. You know you and I are guilty. But this man is not guilty. And I want you to know that if I could get down from here, I would do something to you, because this man is innocent." And Jesus, somehow or the other, I think the God part of him stood up and he stopped dying and looked at the brother on his right and he said, "Today, you should be with me in paradise. Ladies and gentlemen, I am just so excited that I don't know what to do as I look toward this coming Easter. When we look around in our communities, out of all the things that are happening, and now this thing that has come, this virus thing that has come on us, and has hit the whole world everywhere. Ain't nobody can duck this. And ladies and gentlemen, I hope you all don't be upset with me because I don't like how my president is handling this. But he want to make it a common thing as a cold, but this thing ain't joking. And I believe that God is allowing this to happen to awaken us to the sense of the fact that he has already paid for it. And I want you to know, I believe this with all my heart, that God can change anything he wants to change. So this thing now on us, and we got to wash our hands and all that. And then, of course, we should. There's nothing wrong with that. But what I want to say is this. What we really need to be sensitive to is the fact that time is moving. Every day that the sun goes down, we cannot have that day back again. So I urge you today, as we look toward this Resurrection Sunday on, I think, about the 12th of April, as we look toward that, look with the hope and knowing that God has already sent his Son, and his Son has already fulfilled every bit of the law so that nothing can be held over our head. And it don't make no difference who try to hold something over our head. The devil, did you know? I'm excited. I'm really excited. Did you know Satan tries to put something against us every day before the Father? But the blood of Jesus covers for us in such a way that God recognizes us no matter what's going on. He forgives us and allows us to continue to be his sons and his daughters. Jesus said in John, I'm going to skip over to John chapter 10 and verse 10, and he said something like this. And this is what Jesus said. He said, the thief cometh not, but to steal, to kill, and destroy. And I thought I'd just let that soak in for a second. The thief cometh. This is what Jesus calls him. He doesn't call him a devil. He doesn't call him Satan. He calls him a thief. And the reason why he calls him a thief is that Satan cannot, or the thief cannot, let me change that. Satan cannot take anything from us unless he steals it from us. And he cannot steal from us if we allow the Holy Spirit to control us and to guide us. Ladies and gentlemen, I just wanted to kind of give you a kind of a rundown and have you to recognize the fact that the bill has already been paid. All you have to do is to go to the store and pick up because it's already paid for. Totally. Paid for. Jesus has already paid for it. God, we come to you now thanking you for this opportunity to be here today. And I thank you for giving me the knowledge to know that without a doubt in my mind that you have already paid the bill for us. And all we have to do is to believe your finished work on Calvary. And we have eternal life absolutely awarded to us on the basis of your love and your blood for us. In Jesus' name, hallelujah and amen. God bless you today. I thank you for listening in with us. And I want to mention to you that on the 19th of April, we will be having our 70th church anniversary. Our church will be 70 years old on the 16th of April. But we're going to celebrate it Wednesday night, the 15th, 7 o'clock, Thursday night at 7 o'clock, and Friday night we're going to have a choir sing out, and then we're going to have two of the young men from our church that were born and raised at our church, Travis Collier and Aaron Emanuel, will be bringing the message that morning. And our theme that we're using is A Lifetime and a New Beginning. God bless you. See you soon. Amen.